Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Cape Racer Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with two of our new guests, Alex Moore and David Hazan. We're here to break down Death Drop, Drag Assassin, and everything in between. David, Alex, welcome to the stream. How are you two doing today?
Great. Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. From other sides of the timeline, you guys stayed up all night to make this interview. I'm so excited for that. I wish I would have known, because I would have woke up early to make that way. But you know, outside of being a little tired, tell us a little bit about how you guys got into creating comics and into this industry. Alex, we'll start with you first.
After I discovered comics as a kid, it was just sort of like, I love this storytelling medium and it is what I am going to do. And somehow I managed to I was very convinced of that. So I did a BA in illustration at university. And while I was there, like as we were sort of coming out of that, I formed a collective with some friends. And we would do like exhibitions, like zines, art books, things like that. But we also did like graphic novel anthologies as well. And then at the same time, I think while I was at uni, that was sort of like while I discovered this little website called Twitter, which, and I don't know, obviously, I think the reason, like one of the reasons why we're all finding it so hard to get off there is because the thing that makes that, like what made Twitter so great was that it's like everyone's on there from it. Yeah. So it's not just like a type one specific sort of like creative silo. So I was sort of very much like, well, I don't know if I can write comics, but there are all these writers here. So it was sort of just like trying to network with people, doing some sort of like small press Kickstarter anthologies and things like that. Cause that was a really good way of like trying out lots of different genres, and you can sort of like fill out your portfolios. And also, I don't know, like one of the nice things about certain aspects of the comic community is that they're all really nice people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just, and when you're freelancing, it's a lot of like sitting in your room by yourself all day. So I don't know, it was just a way of sort of like connecting with people as well. So I think through that, I sort of like built a portfolio, and at the same time was always keeping out an eye for sort of like, you know, you often get like, there's lots of editors on there who do call outs for artists, quite regularly. So I think one in particular who I noticed did that, is like Nate Cosby over at Boom. So I saw he was looking for someone to do some interiors. So I just DM'd him about that. And so that's how I wound up doing a short for Red Sonja, Black, White, and Red.
That was issue five?
Yeah, and I think they've got volume two of that, which it's going to be part of that collection coming out. I think that's in pre-orders now, actually. I was having a look on Preview World.
That's pretty big for your first like jump into comics. Like, that's impressive.
Well, no, I mean, there was a lot of sort of like, you know, I did like Sagas of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I did it with Asa Wheatley, and I was in like one of the Project Big Hypes. But there's other things as well. Down Below with Limit Break Comics. Mm-hmm. And then I think how David found me was at like around the same time David Booher put out a tweet being like, I'm looking for someone to do a cover. And I was like, hello. And he was like, yes, which was very nice. And that wound up being for a variant for Killer Queens, which is super fun and just got nominated for an Eisner. So big shout out to those guys. And yeah, I think through that, David found me. And that's the very long, messy story of how I got into comics. It just seems to be a lot of falling ass backwards into things, really. I don't know.
Hey, sometimes here we that's are. What you got to do, right? Sometimes you got to fall and just land where you land. David, yes. You have an impressive catalog as well. We have you down for Monomyth and Nottingham as well. Can you give us a little bit about your history and introduction into comics?
Yeah, so I love how you mentioned other than being tired. I thought that was because like I feel like that's a prerequisite for like being in this industry, is you're just perpetually exhausted.
I got my iced coffee right here. I've been drinking it all morning.
I feel really bad. I realized these video ones, you will realize that I actually just drink out of a full cafetiere and don't bother with the mug. It's like
to be fair, I hadn't noticed. So oh, no. Now you pointed it out.
I just thought it was a fancy cup.
No, it's a very fancy cup. It's, yes.
The fanciest.
Yes.
So in terms of how I got into comics, I had always been into comics related media, but was kind of always discouraged from reading comics until a few work colleagues of mine who were very kind and generous and patient got really sick of me talking about adaptations of comics without having read the source material. And so the first thing they shoved in my hands was a copy of Batwoman Elegy. And I'm forever grateful because I tumbled down that rabbit hole real fast. I don't know, I have an obsessive personality. Once I love something, I tend to want to know how it works. That got me into writing comics, which got me into Mad Cave's talent search, which resulted in Nottingham and everything that followed.
And Nottingham is really big, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, there's a lot of talent searches from Mad Cave that are doing some sort of spinoff from that series.
Yeah. So Tales from Nottingham is our anthology spinoff that each issue is a different creative team from Mad Cave's 2021 talent search. And then it's one that's done by me and Shane, who are the Nottingham originators. The last issue is done by Max Visaggio and Victor Santos to round everything out and bridge the gap between Nottingham volumes 2 and 3. So there's a lot going on in the world of Nottingham. We were pleasantly surprised at the, you know, at the response to the book, given that it was our first book, both of ours. It's just a blast to write every time.
Nottingham was like your first book, like in comics?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. Holy crap. Go ahead.
It's another case of just falling ass backwards into something.
Just landing where you land. How did you two end up meeting, though? Like, how did Death Drop Drag Assassin begin?
I slid into Alex's DMs. That was it. I saw their cover for Killer Queens, and I slid into their DMs. And I basically, the book was at a point where Scout loved it. We had an artist on board who couldn't continue because they were doing fantastic things and had just signed on for 2 successive books with Ahoy and Vault, so they dropped out, and I was in a state of slight panic. Then I saw Alex's artwork, then they told me they were available, and it was perfect. The stars aligned, and Death Drop was born.
So what is Death Drop Drag Assassin about, for anyone who might be just like tuning in for the first time?
So Death Drop Drag Assassin follows Death Drop, an ex-hitman turned drag queen, who is on the hunt for her missing drag sister, who has sort of disappeared in amongst a rash of recent missing persons cases that have sort of haunted the gayborhood. As she sort of investigates, she gets entangled in a conspiracy that harkens back to her days as an assassin. So there's just lots of things going on there.
Ooh, I love this. And holy crap, Death Drop is a badass, like total badass. I was I almost had like drag taken vibes from this almost.
Yeah, it's a little bit Taken, a little bit Jessica Jones, a little bit John Wick. All of that energy is in there, but with
like,
drag
I will
queens.
Find you. just not in dirty ratchet drag. I love that part. I love how sassy this book felt. It's just like you guys hit the mark on every point with this.
Yeah, it's been really fun writing some like real snappy dialogue because everyone, like, obviously I love writing Nottingham, but everyone in that book is just so grim and just hates each other. And I was like, it's nice to write characters who both like each other and love a bit of banter. That it's been a fun change of pace doing this book.
Yeah, I really, really loved Death Drop and Mao. Their interaction, just their dialogue, just their chemistry was just phenomenal. Another thing I love was the colors and the interiors in this. Alex, give us a little bit about, you know, what went into your end of things. I mean, your interiors are just gorgeous.
Oh gosh, well thank you. I mean, I think one of the things, I don't know, because it's sort of like I've been doing like line work and color on this, and I kind of feel one of the things that like my line work, it's pretty basic. There's not a lot of sort of like variation in line weight, and sort of like you don't get, I don't go, I can't wrap my head around how people do like blocks of shadow, like I'm terrified of those. It's like, but the lines. So I do kind of, so I feel that color is like a really important storytelling device, and I think with this, I don't know, I heard neo-noir and I think I don't know, that got lodged in my brain as like neon noir, so and I don't know, so we've got sort of like drag and crime noir, which is sort of like crime noir is traditionally like very gritty and camps this sort of like super camp bright aesthetic, so it was sort of like finding a way to mix those two. So I don't know, I found myself thinking a lot about sort of you know, films like The Green Knight, like Drive, and all of Nicholas I can never say his name, that guy, his catalogue, and sort of, you know, things like Mandy, where you kind of see colour being like really like pushed mm-hmm. the limit as a sort of like, because I don't know, so you've got your like layouts and how the panels in terms of like how big they are as a sort of like punctuation, as because with comics it's like you and the reader are sort of like creating time together mm-hmm. and so the size of things and how they're placed in relation to each other kind of like helps control that, but color's also like a great tool for sort of like punctuating like bits of action and things like that, but also like I think that's where I generate mood from, and I don't know, I wanted this to be moody, so it was sort of looking at a lot of sort of like nighttime photography of cities, but also kind of like keeping in mind sort of like, yeah, like crime noir aesthetics. So that's it's just vibes. It's just vibes.
There's a lot of vibing. I find it funny that you were saying that about the lines, but we were talking backstage, like your perspective is just next level. Like when I got to that one page, I was like, wow, this is gorgeous. It's wild.
Yeah, well, as I said, when I was in like sixth form, so I think that's like before you go to university here in the UK, I was doing my art A level and I was like, I'm gonna make myself do a project on perspective, and there was like a solid 2 weeks after that where it was just like I was seeing like lines disappearing into vanishing points everywhere, and I completely broke my brain, but I think it was good. It set me up well for doing comics. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the love of God, like, don't actually, like, measure any of this stuff, because I don't think it's accurate. But as long as it does the job, because hopefully if the comic's doing its job, no one's going to be looking at individual panels for too long.
No, so. I'm going to have to go in there with a ruler. I'm going to be honest with you. So the lettering in this was just as good. There was one scene in particular where you have everyone leaving, and then someone says drama under their breath, and the whole circle was like orange. It was like just a subtle perfect touch. Can we give a shout out to the letterer involved?
Alex knows this, I will shout out Lucas Gattoni's name as loud and as often as I possibly can. No, that man is a genius and just a lovely, lovely human being. I always say this, but I'll say it again, one of the top letterers in the business, very quietly, and so I'm gonna try and make it very loudly instead.
Be loud for them. Sometimes you have to, though, and you know, yeah. I love creators like that too, who are just so good at what they do, but they don't like to like really talk about it. They just do their thing and then, you know, kind of just do it good. So when you two began working on this initially, how did that collaboration work? I mean, David, do you kind of like to take the wheel and go with the script, or did you let Alex kind of, you know, do their thing with it?
I mostly let Alex do their thing with it. I think there were a couple of instances where I had to rein them in a little bit.
No.
But it all worked out.
Yeah.
So what?
That's the spirit of collaboration. I don't know. Exactly. When it works, it just works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alex, what were those scenes, if you could tell us without spoiling anything?
Oh, gosh. I think I got overexcited because I was like, fuck, how is this person going to get like from this floor to that floor? And it's like, what if they just rappel down this giant piece of fabric? And David was like, that is not the tone we are going for. But so they walked down the stairs in a very...
But also I was like, I did actually put a stair... I actually put the stairs in the script. You just missed it.
No, there are stairs. There are stairs at the back. Oh, there are definitely stairs at the back because they're like horrible bendy things. And I was like designing them and it was like, why? Why are they curving? Why did I do this to myself? But, yes.
That is awesome.
For they were in the script and then you forgot them.
For everyone that is just tuning in, we have this book, Death Drop Drag Assassin, dropping in stores July 14th. Right here is a link to go to the previews and get this pre-ordered. Can you guys tell us a little bit about some of the themes we can find within this book? You know, some of the important, you know, stories within this book that we can experience as readers.
Absolutely. With Death Drop, it was important to me really to not tread on ground that's been, you know, well trod and successfully trod. So I didn't really want to make a book that was about, you know, queer heroes punching homophobes. So naturally the book opens with exactly that. And then we go on to subvert that immediately when Death Drop is told off for doing exactly that. Mm-hmm. And really what I wanted to deconstruct was the idea of internalized homophobia and how that external, you know, externalized homophobia becomes internalized and the healing power of drag to kind of overcome that. I thought the kind of the retired assassin trope was the best way to do that. So I kind of just like put all these concepts together. I was watching Jessica Jones at the time that this all came into my brain, and that's where it ended up.
I loved just how we start with the homophobes getting punched, but then at a certain part in the story you reflect on, you know, what happens to that kid afterwards. Like, sure, you stopped it in that moment, but what happens afterwards after you dusted them off and sent them on their way? And I loved how that's explored, because you really don't see that in a lot of books, like where, you know, you initially step in to save them, but then you don't see what happens, the repercussions after that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a problem endemic in the superhero genre, where we're so focused on the superheroics that we don't actually think about, you know, the broader implications of things. And, you know, that's part of the fun of superheroes. But it's interesting to take a look at, okay, well, what would this person's life be like after that incident? And it's a real human, like, thing to think about. And, yeah, it goes to some pretty dark places. And that's why we have the camp and the glamour to kind of cut through some of the really dark themes that we're tackling here.
And Alex, just throwing back to your usage of colors, I really loved too, during, you know, different parts of the books, like how you emphasized different palettes. It felt like present day compared to the flashback was two different palettes. It felt like, you know, can you give us a little bit with what went into using your colors to emphasize the feeling of the panel?
Woof. Again, it's like just vibes, I think.
Just vibes,
I don't know.
Yeah.
At some point someone like read something that I did and they were like, oh, I like how every scene had like a different color. And that just, I don't know, that sort of got like lodged in my head as like every scene must have a different color. Because it's also like a way of sort of like, depending on what's happening in the script, you can use that as a way of like transitioning from locations and things like that. Yeah, I don't know, with sort of flashbacks, it's like, what if this scene just looked like it had smoked like 10,000 cigarettes? I don't know. yeah, and actually that's quite useful because it like, and there's actually like quite a lot of flashback stuff, so it's been quite useful to have those sort of like, I don't know, dirty browns and greens as something to like reflect back on, and it's something the reader can recognize, so they can be like, oh, this is this character back in time. Because it's like, yeah. So I think that answers the question.
Yeah. We have cool. Mama Geekly joining us over on Facebook saying, love how you tell what happens to the person after the incident. Thank you for joining us, Mama. It's always nice to see you jump into the stream. So, I mean, we're on issue one. How many issues do you two have planned out for this series?
At the moment, it's five. So we're doing 5-issue miniseries. And we'll see how that goes.
Okay, all right. And then for everyone that is joining us for the first time, right here is a link to get this pre-ordered. You have until July 14th to make sure you get this book pre-ordered, to get it in your hands. So outside of this title, what's next for you two in 2023? Do you have any books or series that are dropping soon?
Do you want me to start, or do you want to go first?
Let me just gather my thoughts on that, because I'm sure, like, what can I actually say?
Okay, so Monomyth is out now. It's written by me, illustrated by Cecilia Lovalvo, with colors by Marissa Louise, and letters by Lucas Gattoni. It's out from Mad Cave. Issue 1 dropped on May 3rd. Issue 2 drops, I think, in the back half of June. And it's a like fantasy horror book about a school for magic that is terrifying and is trying to kill a bunch of people. So that's fun. We've got Tales from Nottingham, which is currently also mid-run. Issue 4 is coming out, I think, next week or the week after. And then that will go to 6 issues and then get collected in trade. And it's got a second printing of issue 1 coming out in June as well. So if you missed out on the first run, there's a second printing coming. Please, for the love of God, pre-order things. I can't say this enough. It just helps so much if you pre-order things. And I keep saying this, as gratifying as it is to get another printing, I would rather people just have the book in their hands as quickly as possible. So please pre-order things.
Sounds like a full plate. That is awesome to hear. Alex, what about you? I mean, I let us know, though. If there's anything you can't tell us, just tell us. Let us in.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's funny because waiting on contracts, which when you're dealing with larger publishers, take a while. So I'm kind of like, well, I'm working on this thing.
Ooh, a larger publisher?
Is it gonna happen? I don't know. Well, you know, like sort of like one of the big four. So there's like 270 something page YA graphic novel that I've started on, and hopefully that's gonna land. And then obviously like getting this finished, and I know over the course of this year I've also been working on something for an anthology that Nick Bryant is putting out, who's currently running a crowdfunder at the moment.
Stone Cop.
Yes.
Stone Cop.
We have Nick coming so on soon too.
Yeah. Oh, Nick's hilarious. You'll have a good time. He's just like bone dry humor. It's great. And if you like puns, I would highly recommend checking
yes.
out Stone
yes.
Cop.
And Phil Apley is also a fantastic artist whom I am working on with on something which I should be able to talk about like next week.
No, that is
but
so
yes,
awesome.
Yes, there's more asterisk.
And I think we have is it Azza? Did you say earlier you worked with them?
Yeah,
we have them on tomorrow.
Oh,
so
cool.
Small, what a small world. Everyone you just named, we literally have on in the next 5 days.
Oh my God, it's so incestuous. I love it.
The indie community, like you said, it just keeps flourishing, and you just see so much good and so many awesome individuals come in. I love how like it all just like works together, flows together. Like, you know, you name one person, I'm like, okay, well, I've had them on the show. This is like such a small world. It's awesome. So, you know, with this podcast, I love focusing hard on the last two things. It's one of my favorite two things of the show, where we get to dive into some advice, where I ask you for anyone listening, and then what you guys are consuming outside of creating. So we'll start with David. For anyone who is looking to step into writing a script for the first time, what would be your biggest piece of advice you could offer them to kind of help them start off on the right foot?
I mean, I feel like I'm giving advice that everyone gives when saying this, but... And it's also very much a do as I say and not as I do. But please start small. Especially if you want to, you know, make a career out of doing this, you got to start small. If you're just doing this out of your own pocket and you just want to make art, that's great. But also starting small will give you the tools to do the bigger and do it better. But yes, start small. Hire an editor if you can and listen to them. Sometimes you know when to say no, but listen to them.
Not everybody has a Nottingham right out the gate, right?
look, you know, it's catching lightning in a bottle. You never know. You can have all confidence in how good a book is, but you can never predict how popular it will be, really.
Oh, that's a good
And also,
point.
Nottingham wasn't the first thing you wrote. Actually, I think this was.
No,
but
actually,
I think there's also like a novel that I would love to see one
yeah,
day.
There are
a
couple. Death Drop was a remake of the first book you wrote, right?
It basically the first script that I wrote for Nottingham got rewritten about three or four times. Sorry, for Death Drop got rewritten about three or four times and eventually became what this is. So, but it was always this. Like, yeah. It just went through a few iterations because that's how you get better, by editing your work and rewriting and redrafting. I'm not like hugely big on redrafting my stuff because I feel like I'm a pretty slow writer. So usually what comes out is mostly fully formed, but yeah. Sometimes you got to redraft it because sometimes 2 years ago you is not as good as you now. So,
mm-hmm. Hey, shout out to Two Geeks Talking too for I listened to that interview and got that little piece of nugget right there. So shout out Kurt, thank you for having an interview before mine. Alex, for anyone looking to dive into the art aspect of things, maybe the sequential side of things for comics, what would be your biggest piece of advice to kind of help them along in that journey?
I mean, I love how David's like, you know, for your first comic, you shouldn't take it too big. And then I like went off and like wrote and penciled a 380-page graphic novel that I'm chipping away at. And will hopefully, I don't know. I'd love to get the
Alex
first
did
half
not
of that.
Listen to the memo.
No, I did not. And yeah, everyone else was doing like 32-page picture books, and I was just like, which hopefully I'm going to get the first half out of either this year or like early next year. But gosh, I don't know. I think things happen when they happen. Like, it's definitely like I finished university. I'm deceptively old. And I came out of university like a while ago. And I think at that point it was like, I would have loved to do comics, but I was nowhere like at the point. And it's just sort of like, yeah, don't be too disheartened if it doesn't happen immediately. But also I think I definitely spent a lot of energy like trying to chase like validation from doing work that maybe wasn't as fulfilling as sort of just like actually concentrating on my portfolio. So I think like taking that time to actually like think, what do I want to do and how do I showcase that the best, and just kind of, yeah, get it in front of people. Because no one's gonna like give you work if they don't see what you're doing. And I was talking to another creator. We were talking about contacts, and they were like, oh, I don't know if I should email them. And it's like, it's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nike was really onto something when they like monopolized that phrase, but
right, like. No, yeah. I love that. And once again, for everyone watching, right here is a link. Make sure you get these pre-orders, and you have until July 14th to get that in. Now, outside of creating, what are you two consuming? David, I mean, we'll start with you. What are you watching? TV shows, movies, if you listen to music, you know, video games maybe? What are you consuming?
I just finished Jedi Survivor, okay. And I loved it. That was, yeah.
Got our good friend BD1 right here.
it was a blast, an absolute blast. Beyond that, I've been rewatching The Magicians. I had to finish. I've been feeling the urge to rewatch that show for a while, and I had to finish Monomyth to make sure I didn't sort of pollute what I was writing with what I was watching. But now that that's, you know, I finished writing that, I'm rewatching The Magicians, and it's a really fun ride. I really, really enjoy that show, just how unassumingly like queer and fun, but also like really dark it is.
God, that doesn't sound like your MO at all, David. Are there twists?
Oh, love it.
Oh, that is awesome.
Life
Alex,
would be boring without a twist, you know?
That's, yeah, 100% true. 100% true. Alex, what about you? What are you consuming?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Well, the thing about comics is they don't leave you an awful lot of time to do other things. I don't know. So, I mean, thank God for podcasts, because I will just, like, chain listen to stuff. I mean, I've been watching the first season of The White Lotus for about 2 months now. I don't know. I finally managed to watch 7 episodes or something, so claps for me. That was great fun. It's just like, my God, look at all these chaotic, messy adults who've just been thrown in this pressure cooker with each other.
Wow, and you don't have a brand either, Alex.
No, I don't. Oh, ow.
I feel a little bit of the snazzy remarks we've seen in Death Drop.
And then, oh God, I would love, this afternoon, I would love to go to the cinema and go see Polite Society, which is a film out by the woman who wrote this series called We Are Lady Parts, which was about a sort of like punk rock all-girl Muslim band, which was just like fantastic. It's like, if you're looking for something like, I don't know, bright and fun to watch, because it's also got some absolute bangers of some songs in it. And this is about like a girl who is obsessed with like kung fu and wants to be a stunt woman, trying to rescue her older sister from a sort of prearranged marriage. I was going to say like preordained, and I don't think that's correct. So I'm hoping I can do that, but I do need to finish inking a cover this afternoon. So jury is out.
Don't worry, I got a script to finish, and all I want to do is go see Guardians 3. So
oh, it's so good, and you know, likewise, I don't do you know writing or art, but I got a lot to edit, and I just want to get back into the new Zelda game. Tears of the Kingdom, so good, so much fun. Like, and then you know, because I do a lot of content creation, so I was playing Jedi Survivor, and then all these new games drop, and like, it's like, man, I do not have enough time to play them all.
Yeah, there's so much content. We shouldn't call it content though, it's finely crafted stuff.
I like that. So with that being said, guys, it is time for us to wrap up. Right there is the link to make sure you pre-order this awesome book you have until July 14th. Hope you all have an awesome Friday, but most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.